Wildy and Tausch begins now. And I know Jesse wants to get to these power rankings, but I'll be honest. I looked at the injury report yesterday, and I saw Brandon McManus's name on it, and I thought, okay, well, that's odd. I wonder if he hurt himself. He was on there with a right quadriceps injury. That is his kicking leg. And I thought, well, I wonder if he, you know, dinged himself up a little bit making those tackles in the Dallas game. Rob Domofsky tweeting 2 minutes ago. Packers coach Matt LaFleur said kicker Brandon McManus' quad injury is not from the tackles he made in the Dallas game. But LaFleur called it, quote, a major concern right now. We'll see how he is today and tomorrow, and we'll have a plan. Not great, Bob. What do you make of that, old boy?
No, I mean, the special teams has been blah this season already, and that's with a kicker that you trust and a punter that you trust. McManus has obviously been awesome since he's been here. He's made a vast majority of his kicks that haven't been blocked. I think he hasn't missed much. But now you start talking about a quad. That's a big deal. And now you're looking at it. Where are we at next? Like, what is next? Who's there? Isn't it that
the Irishman
did a big story on? And you're going to Ireland.
So, I mean,
what a deal, right?
No. Like
this thing could actually work out well for you, but maybe not for the G&G. This is I think it's a big concern because you feel like you have issues that you want to address with your offensive line and other things, and your special teams units have been
poopy.
Not good, I guess would be the nicest way to put it. And yeah. When you add another wild card in, again, we'll see where he's at. But Matt LaFleur on a Thursday saying major concern, that should make most Packer fans, that ain't good. At all.
I'm trying to think of a time where there was a few times where there were they played musical chairs with punters. There was a guy named Ryan Flynn who had been literally bartending the previous Sunday. It was in that memorable 2005 season, I believe, when the best 4-12 team in NFL history went out there, and Ryan Longwell misses a kick, and I remember him saying that I don't want to blame Ryan because he's new to this, but that the ball was still spinning as he kicked it on
that's
the hold.
Ideal.
So that's not what you're looking for. So there's been some, you know, some sudden change punting scenarios. I'm trying to think. I think I remember Mason Crosby having to punt in a game once or twice.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can recall a situation where they had to go, like, get a guy out of his home, not off the street, but out of his home to kick for them on a Sunday. They do only have 51 players on their active roster, by the way. So if they needed to pick up I think Anders Carlson's available. If they needed to grab someone who is currently not on a roster.
That'd be a good story arc.
Right.
That'd be a good story arc.
If he makes a kick.
Hey.
It wouldn't be a good story arc if he comes in and goes 0-2.
Oh, no,
you're
right about that.
What do you think Dallas would want for Aubrey?
Wait, we're going to trade for him?
Listen, I was going to bring this up today, not for kickers, obviously, but trade-a-palooza's coming. The NFL has turned into the NBA when it comes to trades.
A couple trades yesterday.
The Browns have traded three. They've had four trades since the season started.
Well, they're all with the Jaguars.
Now, it's been a lot of Jaguars, for sure. But Shefty on Unsportsmanlike earlier this week said that he thinks there's going to be 12 to, you know, 10 to 12
right.
And maybe even more trades. And we're not even, like, we still got a couple weeks before the trade deadline. And if McManus, if this is a major concern, you want to address it. And there's the thing about kicking is there's always kickers out there. That's the one spot you feel good about having tryouts and bringing guys in. But at some point, depending on where this thing is, and again, we don't want to spiral this thing too far, but that is a strong – that's some strong language from Matt LaFleur. When you're studying how he operates, that ain't good. It ain't good at all.
Apparently, he injured it during practice yesterday. So, for what that's worth, that's where it came from. The Irishman that I referenced earlier is Mark McNamee. And while he was a good story in training camp, with all his travails of getting to the country and everything else, I don't think you necessarily want him with zero NFL experience to be kicking in a game that counts in the standings. That's just me. So we'll see what their plan is.
I'm sure they have somewhere.
I'm sure they have emergency lists, right, of guys that they would consider. In the preseason, McNamee was 2 for 3 on extra points and 1 for 2 on field goals. So he was 3 out of 5 on the 5 game kicks he had in his NFL debuts. So this is not positive. Not positive at all.
No, it is not. Nope.
That was really all that it appears Matt LaFleur had to say of note during his morning press briefing before practice here. Devontae Wyatt will not practice again, so he ain't playing this week. Anthony Belton is not playing this week. Zach Tom is going to practice again. We'll see what he does. I'm still skeptical, and maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, really? Okay.
I again, you know, you had the line, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, the game room's closed, fool me 3 times, we're really not doing this, or however you finished the third one, I can't remember.
Well, I was actually hoping you said it right, because then I would remember it, because I remember the first two. I do remember saying something yesterday that was really, I thought, clever, but then
it was good.
It wasn't it.
So good that none of us remember it. I'll have to check the tape. But the bottom line is that they cannot have a repeat of Cleveland. And I do want to ask Zach if he, because his plan, he said on Monday, his plan was to crash into LVN and Micah Parsons so he could see how it felt. Because he did not do that the Friday before the Browns game. And then he got whacked by Myles Garrett, and it was like, oh, boy, that really hurts, and he could not continue. All right, we got some more things we want to get to. We can't do that, though, until Tausch tells us about Jones Dairy Farm.
Jones Dairy Farm, family-owned and operated for 7 generations, right here in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, all the way back to 1889. And you know what? Everybody wants to eat clean. You don't want to have fillers and nitrates and MSG. You don't want all that stuff. Well, Jones Dairy for years, we just had a fun little deal with Philip. And we were discussing, I wanted the formula. I wanted that recipe for that all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe. It's also available in pork, chicken, and turkey. He wouldn't give it to me. Maybe next time he will. But you can get it at all kinds of different grocery stores. Check the website's product finder at JonesDairyFarm.com to find all that. Of course, that great bacon and the meatballs and the Braunschweiger, everything that they got, Jones Dairy Farm, a great Wisconsin company.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We'll see you next time? Like, oh, where did you want me to go? Like,
not another dead air. No.
He is a dead air. He is a dead air guy all of a sudden.
Like, what Jones else Dairy Farm, a great Wisconsin company. Okay, I guess he's done.
God. Boy, it must be great from the cheap seats, Ricky, because
no,
you got all the answers.
I
couldn't have decrescendoed my voice. I said it. I thought you'd go into something. So I'll tease it out instead. We've been a lot of criticisms of Rich Bisaccia. Since I don't want the dead air. A lot of criticisms of Rich Bisaccia. There might be somebody. I heard a great idea from someone from the state of Wisconsin in a big-time leadership position, I would love to see Rich or whomever implement with the G&G this special teams operation. I'll tell you who that is and what it is next on Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted.
You know, I hate to be that guy. After such an outstanding tease that piqued my interest. But unfortunately for you, we have more. Not just the Brandon McManus quadriceps. We've got even bigger breaking news right now.
Now, this is some breaking news.
It is certainly some breaking news. Jesse, tell them.
Per MLB.com Brewers reporter Adam McAlvey, Freddy Peralta.
Just wait. McAlvey?
Yeah.
Or McGill? Oh, McAlvey. Oh.
Really?
McCrancy. Yeah.
I can't take McAlvey in my McPrize picks tonight, but yes. Freddy Peralta is starting game four at Wrigley Field tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers on the mound. Fastball Freddy gets the nod on the bump for game four. All in. Murph pushing the chips. Let's go.
This makes me much more jittery now for tonight's game.
Oh, you're more jittery with your horse on the mound than if you saved him for game five and had a bullpen game? Explain yourself.
So, he's our horse, as you put it. As Jesse so greatly researched, his split is two-run differential home and away. And if we don't get it done tonight, all right, we got a bullpen game. The bullpen game at home. That is much more to me of a dice roll than this. So I don't – listen, man, I trust Pat Murphy. I do want to finish this thing. But there's that nice little – you know, in Tommy Boy, when there's, oh, that little thing on the box, it makes you sleep at night. If we don't get it done tonight, you feel like, well, we got Freddie at home, full rest, we're good. On Saturday. Now, you don't get it done tonight. It's a, what are we going to, we don't know what we got. Is it going to be another three innings of Miz? Going to be Ashby? Then how do you approach tonight with how long you're going to go? Like, there's a lot of variables. Again, he is our best. You always want to have your best out there when you can. This was a unique scenario. And like Jesse just said, the chips are out on the table. They were just pushed. Pat Murphy is putting it out there. And now we'll see if we're taking in a big old jackpot or if we got to scramble and reboot come Saturday.
I'm fascinated, though, by the fact that you are now more nervous than you were. With
Freddie
Blank and Peralta on the mound.
Yeah, we're all in. This is it.
Okay.
Well, this isn't.
And that's great.
It's not.
I agree. Like, you're doing it. This is a big one tonight, because Saturday you always are going to feel better with your guy on full rest, ready, all the things
at home.
Big split, as Jesse pointed out. This game's magnitude just it went up another notch,
crescendoed
with the fact that with Freddie pitching, it doesn't mean. You can't win on Saturday, but it does mean Freddie ain't going to be there on Saturday. We don't have our little security blanket. And all right, let's go. Let's close up shop. Let's do it. I'm all in. But that means the stakes were raised. and your heartbeat goes up, and all the things that happen when you push more chips in the table, it's not the same as if you put your mini blinds in and everybody folds and you collect your little baby pot. This, everybody's in. Cubs are all in. We're all in. We're not all in, but, man, we pushed a lot of chips in. All right, let's do it. Let's go.
Jesse? Has Tausch made you nervous with his nervousness? Nervous energy, some might say.
I have nervous energy for every game, so that, you know me. I think this is the smart move. I think there's a difference in mentality when you're the underdog looking to prolong the series as best you can and give yourself a chance versus being the top dog and playing to win and put the hammer down. And the way that Murph played Monday night, game two, by going bullpen and saving Priester, that ended up being a way to try to put the hammer down at Wrigley with Priester in game three and now the option for Freddie tonight. I love it. I think it's the mentality you need to have when you're the number one seed. You're playing to win, just like the Blue Jays last night against the Yankees. You play to be the top dog all regular season long, so you have an opportunity to go win a game like this. And you put your horse out on the mound if he's rested and healthy and good to go. He is. And then if you win tonight, it sets you up well for the NLCS also with having a few days off and Freddie being able to pitch in a few games there. So I think looking at the big picture, looking at the immediate need, everything works well to have Freddie Peralta pitching tonight. So I am in.
Is the ante upped?
The ante is up on tonight's game, yes. That's the way it should be, though. We shouldn't be looking at this like, all right, well, let's save him for game five. There shouldn't be a game five. The Cubs got their one yesterday. There shouldn't be a game five. And that's what the message Murph is sending.
Yeah.
Is there shouldn't all be
right,
a game
Jesse's
five.
Jesse's got me fired up. All right. And so, he's up.
And the Cubs will counter with Matthew Boyd.
Any relation to oil can Boyd?
Not from what I can tell, but I would never rule that out because I don't know enough about his lineage. I know his nickname is Matty B.
Him and
according
Bruce
to MLB.com.
Hurst. Remember that old staff back in the 80s? Bruce Hurst, lefty. Obviously Roger. Calvin Schiraldi,
I was just
going to
see if you would go Calvin Schiraldi.
It's honestly amazing. We made it a week in the baseball playoffs before we just started naming guys from 80s and 90s baseball. But
apparently Matthew Boyd is a distant relative of Bob Feller.
Oh.
According to his bio. Much like Darian Kennard is a distant relative of Dolly Parton.
Was this like
apparently is doing better than we feared. So that's good.
Oh, yeah, we were nervous yesterday. Dolly put a report out. That was good.
Is Boyd their, like...
He's their guy. He and Imanaga were supposed to be their 1-2, and we made them look
didn't
foolish.
Go so hot.
Yeah.
He lasted 2/3 of an inning in that opener in game one. So he should be well-rested. We'll see what he does tonight.
Horse on horse tonight. Horse and horse.
Two horses horsing around.
Can we sneak a phone call in here? Because we got somebody.
Is it
on.
From Bill Schroeder?
It is not. I could call him back if you want me to. We could do a podcast.
I don't think he's interested. There's in that, from what I could tell.
We've got a theory from a fan who decided.
A fan theory?
Yes. And I know
so like fan fiction?
Kind of. Mark,
is it Crancy?
It's not Crancy.
Did Crancy call?
Well, I don't know what Mark in a truck's last name is. It might be Crancy, but as far Crancy's, as I know, it's not him.
Crancy's had a tough go. We were all kind of giving him the chance to say,
great,
oh, that's interesting.
Great idea by Crancy.
Until Bill Schroeder came on. Mark in a truck, great to hear from you.
How you doing, Jason?
Yeah, I was starting to wonder about you. It's been way too long. I hope you're in good health.
Jeez. I just want to say, Jason, been listening to you now for going on 20 years.
Yeah.
And I can say that you're the best, and not once have I said, well, that was a waste of time listening to you. There, I gave you a compliment.
Thank you. You probably missed a few shows. when you could have said that, though.
You didn't listen last Friday, did you?
He didn't say that about Tausch, I just noticed.
I did notice that. So, Mark, how you feeling about this?
I'm going to say that because this is Freddie's regular day of work in between starts, he's going to go one inning and pitch on game five. Then they're going to bring in Gasser. They're going to bring in Miz and Ashby.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow. Are you related to Krantzy? Because this is basically the Krantzy concept, but with your horse. I love this idea.
Interesting idea.
But all I can say is I am a 16th generation relative of the greatest president in the world, Rutherford B. Hayes.
Wow. We learned something new on Wilde and Tausch.
Old Uncle Ruthie, he was a good guy. That was his wife's name, too, Aunt Ruthie.
Oh, wow. It could get confusing on the birthday card.
That's interesting. That'd make it easy.
Yeah, we just use the same one.
There you go. Mark, great to hear from you.
Yeah, go ahead. Say hi to Paula and say hi to the girls. And I listened to them grow up.
You're the best, man. Well, thank you for your loyalty. Yes, thank you.
Yep.
And thanks for the idea. What do you think? This is not, I understand that Krantzy got poo-pooed, so maybe we need to call Rock back and ask him if we need to poo-poo Mark in a Trucks idea. In fairness, Rock was wrong when he said they weren't announcing their starter. They would have if it was Peralta, and then shortly thereafter it is Peralta.
Yeah,
what do you
wrong.
Think of this theory? Yeah. It's the same concept. Get through the first inning with somebody who's good.
Yeah, no, I think once he goes, he's going. So, no, I understand it. I think it would be incredibly clever.
Be bold.
And it gives you an opportunity that if your team is, you bullpen this thing up, you get him. He's going to throw a bullpen anyways on his fourth, today.
Right.
I love the concept of it, but I think once you make this call, you're going with Freddie, and if Freddie is humming, you're going to keep rolling with him. Try to close this thing up and then move it along and not have to play a game five.
Yep. I think you're right. Just like you're right about your love of Coors Light.
Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. Might have to stay up late to crack one open tonight. It might be 11 o'clock when the Brewers finish off the Cubbies with who knows who's going to finish that game off. But you know when you need a moment to chill, celebrate a big Brewers win, it'll be Coors Light in my hand. And you make sure to celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Some big news developing here on the in the old producer studio. It appears Tier 1 Tyler and I will be getting together with a few Coors Lights tonight to take in game four at an establishment of our choice.
Who's producing the show now tomorrow?
Hunter. He actually is. Tausch and I are at Zimbrick Chevrolet out on Sun Prairie. So
get some body work
done. If I just roll in a little late, like, I might just actually stay, depending on where we are, I might be closer to Zimbrick and stay overnight and roll in. We'll be good.
Well,
big night.
Better make Woe Nelly a good one. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate.
The moment we've all been waiting for. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
I felt bad for Tausch. He had such a good tease. Then we ended up going with the Freddy Peralta breaking news.
I feel like, Gels, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like you didn't prep and have anything ready for your Wonelli, and now you want. That's what I feel. Am I wrong?
You are wrong. I actually thought I had a few great things ready to go, but here's what happens. When you send something mid-show, it's like, right, let's get this. And then I work real hard to get it. I really
like
want to make sure
like to
we...
Nine,
there's got
to
be a payoff for me. There's got to be a payoff for me.
I sent it at 9:15.
Which, yeah, you know what would be better? What would be more helpful? 7:15. 9:15 p.m.
Oh, ooh. Oh, we want to get down this road. Oh, interesting.
It would be more helpful. We got a lot going on.
Yeah,
back
you know,
here.
Well, there's a lot of things that would be more helpful, but I am not going to be a bad teammate. Yeah. Jesse, I think you do a good job.
Whoa, Nelly. Right.
Nervous energy. Sorry, that was nervous energy. I'm sorry.
I thought you weren't nervous.
Oh, no, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. There's a there's different kinds of nervous. There's
thanks for explaining that. Tell me more.
There's excited.
I thought you were going to be a good teammate over there.
Why don't you just tell everyone what we're going to play?
So here's what happened. I had gotten a text from one of the former Academy members until the Academy disbanded after Jason's
besmirchment.
Besmirchment of the Academy. And it was about Pat Murphy. I did not see Pat Murphy on the McAfee show. I saw a couple of clips. But as is the case, Pat Murphy put some very interesting things out. And I know now with McManus having a quad and with the special teams unit being under, I would say, fire for not doing a great job so far, and Rich Bisacci is the leader of that group.
Uh-huh.
He sends me a clip, and I have to admit, I love fun ideas. You know that. It's what I thrive on. I love enthusiasm, and I love when somebody comes up with something that is – that sounds crazy, but I kind of love it. And Pat Murphy came up with that, and it made me think Packer fans might be clamoring for Pat Murphy, as long as the Brewer stuff keeps rolling, to end up adding another job, potentially, potential idea that he put on McAfee goes. Jesse, roll the tape.
I had aspirations going on to coach college football when I got to Notre Dame. Coach Holtz was so great. Barry Alvarez was there. They became great friends, and they knew kind of my mentality of, like, I love this stuff. I'd sit in meetings. So, McAfee, I got a punt play that I want to know if you know about.
Okay.
So they snap it to you, okay? And you, instead of kicking it, you throw a spiral straight down the field.
Okay.
Your outside men, the returner has no idea you've thrown it. He thinks you've kicked it. Your outside people go down, it's called your gunners, right?
Yep.
They go down and they run under it and either catch it or run into the guy gonna receive it. Even if he fair catches, they run in, because if it's really high, you throw it really high, they're gonna fair catch it. You have your guy just try to catch it or run into that guy, pass interference, and we're rolling.
Genius. Now McAfee goes on to say that his old punter Shane Lechler did this. So Jason, I know you're sitting there. What kind of idiot can't tell if they're punting or kicking? You kind of fake like you're kicking it, and then you throw it, right? And what McAfee said was they do that with gunners, and because the corner, especially in a pooch punt situation, they bail out. And all of a sudden, old boy is going to catch a tutter from his punter. And if your punt coverage stinks, this is a great mixer to add into your punt coverage. I love the idea. I want to see Green Bay try it. Tell me I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
Okay. Why?
If this was such a genius idea that could actually be pulled off, and he thought about this when he was at Notre Dame with Barry Alvarez and Lou Holtz. Don't you think other people have thought about it? And it's never been tried before in a game other than this Shane Lechler story, which you're a little light on the details. Did it work?
I didn't listen to the rest of it, so I don't know.
He said the referees see that it's a pass, and so they won't call pass interference when it's a punt formation, basically. They see it.
So you're gonna have to catch it yourself.
You gotta really go and catch
it. But just wait a second. But you can do that on a field goal. And there's pass interference.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things I think that don't make sense about special teams and the rules of football. Like, how come in college football, you snap the ball to the quarterback in a shotgun formation and he puts a knee on the ground and the play's over, but when you snap it for a field goal, the person has their knee down and the play's continuing?
That's a great point.
It's a good point.
I've wondered that for decades. I don't understand why that rule exists in college football. Since I was a kid, and my dad is like teaching me how to watch football. Like, how come the play isn't over? I don't know. Because he's a holder.
Yeah.
Okay, what if the quarterback says, I'm the holder? And then he gets, oh, it's a fake. Like,
yeah, why is there not pass interference on a fake punt? So fake punt, why wouldn't you just tackle? Why don't you just tackle him then once he gets past the 5 yards? Can't PI. Like, there's a lot of, I think what Pat Murphy has done here is opened everyone's horizon into thinking, why can't they do that? Well, what are these rules? Well, I want to learn more about why this is or is not a good idea. And isn't that what you're looking for when you do media appearances or you do things like this? You want people to think. He's made me think.
Do you think he thought more about this in his lifetime or starting Freddy Peralta in Game 4 tonight?
Really good question. This obviously has been on his mind since the late mid-80s. So I would think just with the volume of time, I would think it's this.
Our buddy Coach Mack, I will try and find college film of this. We ran this in 2000 and 2001 at UW-Platteville. We called it the Sky Punt.
Okay, how did it work?
He has not added that piece of information on whether it worked or not. I'm skeptical.
So you're done with this. You think it's a dumb idea?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Well, see, now here's the trouble. We're in kind of no man's land of Whoa, Nelly, where there's like a minute and a half, and we're either going to be
make
late.
It work, Jesse.
Now
come
we're,
on.
We're either going to be late to Rich Eisen, or we're going to... All right. Tausch, what do you think of the Bill Belichick North Carolina experience?
Well, he didn't get fired yet. It's been a disaster.
This is newsworthy because last night the school put out an official statement from both the athletic director and Bill Belichick expressing their commitment to one another amid reports of things going south in a hurry for the Tar Heels football program.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, the reporter Ollie Connolly sounded like it was a made-up name. Like, I read it like Oli Cannoli, and I'm like, oh, that's a made-up thing.
Pepperoni Cannoli!
Oh, Oli Cannoli from No3 Sports says that Bill Belichick's going to get fired. Turns out Oli Cannoli's a real guy, and it's a real report.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's obviously North Carolina was hoping that Bill Belichick would be able to out-scheme and kind of figure things out. This will be his only year in college football, and I think this will be his only. I think this will be it for Bill, and it's kind of a bummer for him because he had a great career, no doubt about it. And I just don't think. I don't know if he ever found or if he ever, if he would look back and say, I probably should have not done this. But I'm glad he's not quitting midseason because I can't get my head wrapped around coaches. You get fired, it's different. I don't ever want a coach quitting midseason. You've put in the time, and until someone that is your boss says, I don't want you doing this anymore, I want you going down with the ship. I don't want you to say, oh, no, no, no. If you've signed up to coach this team through November, coach him. So I hope that that report by Oli Cannoli is not accurate and that he finishes this season out. And then if they decide that they need to go in a different direction after the season, great. But I would hate to see him leave his job early without someone firing him.
I hope he gets fired. It's been a complete dumpster fire there. And it doesn't seem like he has shown the level of commitment that should be required either. And if you're not going to show the level of commitment, like during the bye week, he went to Cape Cod. He was there's they couldn't they didn't, according to the report that I read, they didn't know where he was. Some of his assistants. The reporting is not very good on how much effort he has put into this endeavor. And the girlfriend.
I think a lot of this, if he doesn't have this 24-year-old girlfriend, nobody is calling out his effort. Like, I think there's a lot of folks that don't like the fact.
Maybe he's more focused if he doesn't have. I don't know. I don't know what his, I don't know what his relationship is. All I know is that the reports that I was reading yesterday, it sure sounded damning.
From Ole Cannoli?
Commitment. No, it was somebody else. No, it was not him. We need to wrap things up so we can get to Rich Eisen. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All right, we need to get out of here. We've got the coordinators later today, Tausch. Now we've got the added wrinkle of the quadriceps injury for the kicker. What kind of mood do you think Rich Masacci is going to be in?
I bet he's relaxed. He maybe went to Cape Cod during his bye week, too.
Oh, and he's a
Yankees
fan. I'm
sure he'll
fan.
Be as critical.
And he's a Yankees
he'll
fan. Good point, Jesse.
He'll be salty if he's a Yankees fan, too.
Great. This will be fun. I look forward to it. That's it for us today.
Thanks for coming.
It is a big game.
Big game.
Nervous energy. Game 4 tonight. We've got our watch along as well on YouTube. Be sure to check that out. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.